And thanks to the help that you receive from ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, we'll keep it running for you, whether it be your car, your truck, your van. And Dan's good enough to do that every week here on CCO. Well, once in a while, of course, we hear from your colleague, Nick. Dan, did you have a good week at Lloyd's?
We did have a good week at Lloyd's, Denny. Thank you for asking. It was a summer week, but it sounds like that's over. I think it's time for us to buckle down and get serious about the fact that some cold weather's coming, and we need to start thinking about getting our cars ready for winter.
Absolutely. It'll be here soon enough. In fact, I was thinking about we're getting some questions about tires. Speaking of that, about when does Lloyd start putting on snow tires? I know you're not a predictor. You don't have the crystal ball when we're going to hit with the first snow. But about when?
I will tell you, I haven't done one yet.
Okay.
So I don't know. You remember we had the Halloween snowstorm. So,
oh, yes.
And that caught us all off guard. Nobody was prepared by then. But I think that's probably around the right time. Between the beginning of November and Thanksgiving, it's probably time to do it. You know, once the weather gets cool enough and the roads get cool enough, then the snow tires will do just fine on dry pavement. But when the dry pavement is very, very warm, like it was yesterday, that's pretty hard on the snow tires. It burns them off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, certainly don't want to put them on until the 80 degree and probably the 70 degree weather is over.
Very good. If you have any kind of a car care question for Dan, you can call it in or text it in, same number, 651-989-9226. But don't wait. Keep in mind that Dan will take his leave about 7:45 this morning. So if you have any kind of a car care question, you've got to bring it in to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. You want to know what could be ailing? Give us a call or send a text, 651-989-9226. I think you had mentioned the term last week's show, Dan, on tires being cupping of the tires. The texter says, what is that and what causes that on tires?
What causes it is just a wear pattern. Sometimes it'll happen on a perfectly fine vehicle. Quite often it'll happen on a vehicle where the shocks and struts are starting to wear out or there's some loose suspension parts. But what it is when you run your hand over the tire in both directions, it should feel smooth in both directions. And if you run your hand over the tire in one direction and it feels smooth, and in the other direction it feels rough, then the tires are starting to cup. And the solution to that is to have the suspension check, be sure that it's good, and then the rest of the solution is to rotate the tires frequently, and that will help with that rough feel. And what happens with that rough feel is that the tires start to get noisy. They certainly get less efficient in their operation, but they start to get noisy. And what causes it is just this subtle pattern that starts to wear. And then as the pattern starts to wear, it's too small for anyone to see, but the tire starts to flutter a little bit on the pavement. And every time it comes down and hits the pavement, it wears, it continues to wear that pattern into the tire. And if it goes on too long, it gets to be a significant pattern, and actually the tire is pretty much ruined at that point because it's too far gone. You can't get that cupping out of it.
Now, the thought occurred to me when you, and I've seen you do this often, when you are putting in new tires on a customer's car and you add those weights to it, is it necessary, or do you always, or maybe once in a while, do an alignment check on a vehicle?
We frequently do an alignment check. First of all, it's always a good idea. It's never a bad idea to have your alignment checked and be sure that it's still, straight and in spec. But what would for sure indicate that we should do an alignment is if I see some sort of wear in the old tires, if the inside of the tire is starting to wear, or the outside, or if they're cupping. That's another thing that can cause that, is if the alignment is off. So all of that sort of stuff would be an indicator that, yes, we certainly should check the alignment, and if necessary, do a little bit of adjustment on it, too, to get it back into spec.
All right. Let's grab a phone call. By the way, if you have any kind of a car care question, call it in or text it in, but don't wait. Dan leaves us at 7:45. Let's go to Mike, I believe, who's calling in from Roseville this morning. Mike, you're on CCO with Dan.
Good morning. I got a question about spark plugs. I had my spark plugs changed probably 6 months ago, and all of a sudden the mileage dropped about 10%. It runs fine, no lights, nothing. I don't know what they put in, a different brand, or if the gap's wrong. You got any ideas?
Well, I don't think, honestly, I think it's a coincidence, because the spark plugs would have very little to do with, I mean, if they're working, and if they're working, which means every time that the piston comes up, or every other time the piston comes up, if the spark plug fires, then it's doing what it needs to do and creates an explosion in there. And beyond that, that's the end of its job. So I doubt if spark plugs have much to do with mileage. Now, if the spark plugs were put in and something's wrong, that was creating a misfire or something like that, you'd get a check engine light on, and you'd have other problems that would show up. So I don't know. I would find it very unusual that spark plugs would have an effect on fuel economy. And I wonder if you shouldn't look a little bit deeper and see if something else in your pattern of life has changed, if you're buying a different fuel, or if you're driving different, or different conditions, or windy conditions, or something like that, that would affect the mileage. But I don't see spark plugs having too much to do with that.
Especially 10%. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what, Dan, we need to take a quick break. You're inviting our listeners to join in. Any kind of a car care question you may have, you want to talk to Dan Burns, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Let's do this. Let's take a break. Call in your question. Text in your question. Again, same number, 651-989-9226. 53 degrees in the Twin Cities. We will be right back. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. And that is located exactly where, Dan?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give a call as soon as this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that info before Dan leaves us. By the way, he'll leave us about 7:45. So if you have a question for him, call it in or text it in. Same number, 651-989-9226. Let's grab a phone call or two, and then we'll pick up on some text questions. Larry is first up here, I believe, from Eden Prairie. Larry, you're on CCO with Dan.
Good morning. I have a 2005 Envoy XL GMC, and I'm having some trouble with my rear shocks. I believe they're Glifton, if I'm saying it right, air shocks, part of the towing package that was with the vehicle. And what's been happening over the last 6 months or so is a varying amount of time, from even as short as maybe 6 to 8 hours, but sometimes 2 or 3 days, the rear end will lower about, you know, probably as low as the shocks will go. And when I turn the car on, they pump back up, if you will, in, you know, probably 30 seconds or so. And otherwise, everything's fine, drives fine, you know, when the shocks are in the good position, I see no issues. But I suspect there might be some sort of leakage in the system.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. The The solution is quite literally that we do some inspection with some soapy water and see if we can't find where that leak is exactly happening. But there's a very good chance that now I'm not sure without a manual in front of me if the air part is actually part of the shock or if they have a separate bag. But I think in that particular vehicle, it's actually part of the shock. And if that's the case, the solution is to replace that shock absorber. That type of suspension has become very, very popular. And some, like I say, sometimes they control the ride height with the shock, and sometimes there's actually a separate airbag that they use to control the ride height, and you know that servicing those has become quite common, where you know either the bag or the shock will develop a slight leak over time. It'll leak down, and then you know when the car is running and the pump runs, it's able to keep it up and keep it full. But when it sits for a long time, it leaks out and the car sags. So the solution is, I bet that shock is going to need to be replaced.
Okay. Thanks, Larry. Let's go to Prior Lake. I think Mark has been waiting there to ask you a question. Mark, thank you. What is your question for Dan?
Yeah, Dan, I had a windshield installed in my 2014 Acura TL about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the trim around the edges, there's a little rubber seals on that trim, and they don't meet the windshield correctly. Like, they got bent slightly. And also the plastic trim on the cowling underneath the windshield wipers doesn't not meet that windshield correctly either. And I was told by the person that put the windshield in that deck height isn't correct, and they're going to have to replace my windshield again and replace my trim around the edge of that windshield to correct this problem.
I believe that to be true. That's actually a really big deal. People think that, you know, when it comes to putting in a windshield, that it's an easy job, that they advertise that they can come out and do it at your home and so forth. But quite honestly, I've watched so many of these, and a really, really good glass technician is a really big deal, and it's very, very important. So I think what they're telling you is absolutely true, that it's just not positioned correctly. And it will need to be done over again. And you know, the other deal with a windshield is, if you don't have the right technician doing it, they can scratch the paint when they're removing the old windshield, when they're cutting that glue to remove it. And of course, if they scratch the paint, then you've opened up you've exposed bare metal, and you end up with a rust problem. So be very, very careful when you order a windshield. Make sure you know who's doing it, and talk to them about the precautions that they're going to use to be sure that the paint doesn't get scratched and that the windshield is installed at the right height so that everything around it fits correctly. So you're absolutely right. I think that's what you're going to need to do.
Bring her back. All right. Dan, we need to take our usual bottom of the hour break. If you have any kind of a car care question, by the way, we'll grab some text messages when we return here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Standing along here with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we have callers and we have texters, so let's get you back to work here. Jerry, I think, is first up here calling in from Minnetonka. Thank you, Jerry. What's your question for Dan?
Good morning, Dan. I got a 2014 Coachman motorhome, and dummy me, I plugged an electric heater to the outside receptacle, and guess what? I heard it like a spot. So I checked all the fuses underneath the hood. They're all good. And I was wondering if there's a main fuse. I think there's a little box. You think which direction I should go on that?
I'm sure that what happened is you blew a circuit breaker somewhere. And on a motorhome, I have no idea where you would look. Maybe I would look somewhere around the battery. And and see if you find something. If I was there, I probably with my voltmeter could track it down by, you know, finding out where the voltage stops, starting at the battery and working your way out to where you plugged it in. But I think maybe the best thing you're going to do is find somebody that's familiar with that vehicle, and maybe even a phone call. If you were able to call them and say, you know, here's what I did, I bet they could tell you exactly where it is. And it may be as simple as pushing a reset button and resetting a circuit breaker.
That'd be nice if it was, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry. Let's see. Gary, I think Gary's going to be our last caller. We have some text messages we want to answer, too. Gary, what's your question for Dan?
Okay, I've got a 2012 Terrain, put an aftermarket catalytic converter on it. The check engine light stays on, and the dealer says it's only settable by them. Is that a true statement?
Well, no. The check engine light can be reset by anybody by clearing the codes. That will take care of it. And we'd have to read those codes and see if the code that you're experiencing is related to the catalytic converter. And if it is, then it's just something you're going to have to live with. The aftermarket converter is not as efficient as the original equipment one. And that's actually quite common, that it doesn't do quite as good a job and the car's not happy with it. So the check engine light can certainly be checked by anybody, and the light can be turned off by resetting the codes.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for the call. Texter says this, 2006 Honda Odyssey van, 180,000 miles. The engine light came on. Is there a way to tell if it's a gas cap related that is not on tight? I don't want to spend any money for an engine scan.
Yes. Well, there's lots of, first of all, those scan tools are now available aftermarket that are very inexpensive if you just want to check the codes. And there's all sorts of parts stores and places around that will check the codes, that will scan the computer for free. And so I think if you go get it scanned, find out what the code is, and then do a little bit of research on the internet, maybe you'll get enough information to have an idea what's going on. I would caution you just a little bit, though, with regards to getting the code. Sometimes a little bit of information can be dangerous. And so sometimes people will hear the code, and it'll be, you know, a code for something, and they go and replace that part. And the fact of the matter is that part was working just fine. It was something else that was causing the problem.
Okay. Here's a text. Says a 2011 Ford F-150, only 14,000 miles on it, but it's 9 years old. Do you think I should have all the fluid change, brake fluid, transfer case, differential, radiator, et cetera? What do you think?
Well, I would not. I don't know. I probably would do it, although I'm not sure I can recommend that you have that done. Certainly, many of those fluids will be just fine. And I guess the other question would be is if you're going to start driving it more, if it's going to become a daily driver, then it probably would make sense to do all that before you put it back on the road and start driving it full time. But, you know, we talk about how time can be the enemy of vehicles as much as mileage. And so if I'm going to stick to that theory, then you're probably right. It probably would be a good idea to change all the fluids after 9 years.
Okay. Let's see. Here's another text. When my check engine light came on, a test at the dealership showed that two of the eight injectors were failing. I cannot feel it when I drive. It's expensive to replace them. What are the ramifications of not getting that repaired, both long-term and for mileage?
Yeah, well, it will have an effect on all of that, and long-term it'll probably get worse. The fact that that you're not feeling it is not uncommon. You know, cars are very efficient nowadays, and the other cylinders are able to make up the difference, and the computer is able to make up the difference by adjusting air fuel mixture and things like that. So it doesn't surprise me that you can't feel it, but I think probably long-term, for lots of reasons, you're going to want to get that fixed.
All right, let's see if we can grab another one here before you take your leave. I purchased a 2017 Lincoln MKC a month ago or so. It has a shimmy at about 57 plus miles an hour. They told me it was a low tire, but that was not the case after they filled it with air. What could cause this shimmy, and what should I ask them to do?
Well, most commonly a shimmy calls from or is caused by the tire itself. And first thing you should ask them to do is balance the four tires, maybe rotate the four tires depending upon the condition of the tires. But for sure, balance them. See if they find one that's got a little hop in it or a wobble in it. And you can see that when it's on the balancing machine. Try it again. And a worst case scenario is you might end up replacing the tires because if there's a significant wobble in one of the tires, that means the tire's starting to come apart and it'll need to be replaced.
All right. We have to run, Dan. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can come on over and we'll be glad to see you. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give a call as soon as this morning. Jim will be here this morning at 651-228-1316.
Well, let me invite you back here next Saturday morning if you have the time. We would appreciate it.
Sounds good. I'll see you then.
All right, good deal. Thank you. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul.